Thank you for joining us. These are perilous times, and if you're like us, you hear a lot of stories about things happening. They're very frightening. But God is on the throne, and we're here because the Lord's raised us up, and He's raised up Brother Freedom to give a message in these last days. Father, we just thank You, and we praise You, and we glorify You. We just are so thankful for Your wonderful goodness. Without You, there would be no hope. We would be dead meat if it weren't for You. We give You praise and honor and glory. We thank You for anointing Your strength upon Brother Freedom. Lord, touch him tonight. He's been going through some things, some physical things. We just thank You for Your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Mike is going to come and read some scripture for us.
This is 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, starting in verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Then in chapter 3, starting at verse 15, it says, If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are.
Praise God. Thank you. Father, we thank you for that word that was read out, Father. We are the temple. Father, let us realize that you dwell within us. Father, we are the temple for your dwelling. We just give you praise and glory, and we thank you this night. In Jesus' name. The Lord showed me what was going to happen quite a few years back. I just now hear things that bear witness what I've already heard or know. And what really seems to be very significant to the United States just happening. See, when we go into a country, you're supposed to have a declaration. You just don't come and walk into a land as a live-in because that's against the law. But we're having that on a big scale over the United States. It's a big scale. It's tremendous. Muslims in on it. Spanish people's in on it. And all over the world, I mean, they're just flooding in the United States. It grows. The hospitals down this state even, they can't handle. So people that need hospitalization, you can't get it because these other people that come in, they get first priority. It's really not fair because the American people have lived in this land and they fought for this land. And now they're the ones that's being penalized. It's really on a big scale, actually. But our president and all his bunch are behind this other. He's not the only one. Some of the other presidents are behind it too. And it's not a good thing. People that really know mathematics and the things that deal with our nation, which I've thought for a long time, it'll break a nation itself. Just that one fact, because you can't have an overload of responsibilities when you only got so much money to handle responsibilities. You can just figure it out real easy. So the responsibilities get bigger and bigger and bigger, and they're at the place now to just bust. It's that bad. And they have, in Texas, places where these people come in, almost 1 million people come in there, and they just camp out, and there's no sewer, no nothing. It's terrible. And you have to feel sorry for them, but the thing about it is they should not come here to get in that spot because it's too big for us to even handle. It's a big problem. And the waste is getting all on the border. It's beyond, it's like a disease almost. It's terrible. See where these people come from, they have no sewer. They have no, so they've learned to just put the garbage right out. But that does not work in society. And with that, there's a lot of problems it's facing. There's kids with no parents. Someone's got to take care of them. And then they have to be taken care of until they're 21 years old. So it's a lot of responsibilities that's coming on to our nation. And if we was a real fluent nation with lots of money, like 100 years ago, wouldn't have made much difference. But the way we are now, we're sort of sitting into a time when there's not that much there. The jobs are not fluent. Everything is not where it should be. And with this, people are reacting to something that's out of the will of God. The Lord told Israelites not to let the Hittites, the Jebusites, if they come in the land, they would actually come and take the land from them in time. It's going to happen here. And the thing of it is, there's like the Muslims is coming in. It grows really fast, and they're coming in. And when they get in charge, we've all had it. You can't believe in God like we do. You're going to be executed, your head cut off. And women have no rights at all. It's terrible. The way they see a lady, they're going to abuse her or punish her. Their thinking is opposite as us as Christians, but what we believe and know to believe. So there's some things that's facing our land that's going to affect us spiritually. And that's why I've been, for a couple of months, I've been wanting to talk about this, but I just didn't want to get people uptight, but it's happening. The Lord told me, I guess that's why I felt today, because this had to be born this way. God orders everything. Come on, Shino, come on. He is on time. He never makes a mistake. You know, years ago when the Lord was filling my heart, 5 minutes, our time was out of time. It was right now, punctual. When that girl hit that tree, it was right now. That's happening. It happened. God is, he's not out of time. He's right at exactly time. His schedule is always right. And we got to work to his schedule, not him to our schedule. The Bible says, be not deceived. For God is not mocked. So whatsoever man soweth, that should he also reap. We have sowed a lot of problems in America. America was birthed in God we trust. And that was enough. But now they don't even believe in the Christmas. Happy holidays. We are coming a long ways for the Lord. It's all against God. It's all against him. The enemy's trying to do his best to make everything that God stands for to disappear. He wants to, as they say, play a hardball. But I tell you, his time is getting short. The Bible says, when you see these things come to pass, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. We're to seek the one that loves us. The Bible says, we have that hope. We've got a hope that's so special, so wonderful. Nobody in the world can take that hope from you. That hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The hope is in his power, in his resurrection, and his blessings. His eye is over the righteous, and his ears open the cry. But the wicked, he says, he's far from them. He's far from the wicked. So it behooves us in this last days to try to stay as close as we can to the Lord, because it's safe there. When we get out in these other places, there's some dangerous travel, like quicksand, everything else that fades away. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord, because he's coming, and we need to be ready, because I know there's some people that's really thinking about that want to evangelize really heavy this next year. I believe in evangelize, God gives, but what I'm saying, we're living a time where we're going to run close to the time of the Lord's coming. When those two times interfere, God's coming is going to come anyway. And a Christian, what our focus should be, that our main thrust of belief that we're looking for the coming of our Lord. When all these things are coming to pass, all the troubles, Daniel was a very special prophet. He spoke things that's happening. He said there's going to be great learning. Did you ever see so much learning in all your life? I mean, you know, computers, and then all the new things on computers, they get outdated, I guess, pretty fast. So it's really something of learning. And then another one that goes with it is travel. 100 years ago, there was not really much travel. Probably a horse and buggy, and it was just a very slow pace. Well, maybe 30 miles, probably about the distance it might be a long jaunt. And they used to have the Pony Express that traded off horses where they could run real fast and let them go run real fast. So they did a little faster than normal. But still, it was no speedy thing. But now look at it. You can take off from San Francisco, go halfway, curve down to Australia. I think 15, 16, 18 hours, something like that. But there's people, that's what they do is promote trips, things to do. Every airport, every town, there's an airport. Every airport, it goes to search all over the world from that one airport. It's really something look back to my grandpa, my folks' father wouldn't even understand it at all. 30 years ago, we didn't even know what a computer was. And about 40 years ago, we didn't hardly know what air conditioning was. 60 years ago or 70 years ago, the radio was out. But that was so much inventions have been brought forth, and that's letting us know that that's the end time. That is the end time. Itself spells end time. And the Bible said, knowing the time, now it's high time to wake out of sleep. What is sleep? It means that we've sort of got, we're not very sharp on our senses. We've forgotten about the things that brings us close to the Lord. We're more into the world now. The Bible says we need to regroup, search, what are we seeking for? What are we seeking for? What is our goal in life? Is it to have riches in this life? Because where they are, they're going to fade. If you could gain the whole world and lose your soul, what would it profit you? What we really got to seek for is that everlasting reality is going to live forever and ever and ever. It's hard to even fathom, to believe what it's going to be. The Bible says the natural man receives not the things from the Spirit of God, for the foolish unto him, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. Some of these things we can't even recognize unless by the Spirit. The Spirit brings us into that place. The anointing. The anointing of the Lord is that peace that goes with us. The Lord is my shepherd. The 23rd Psalm becomes a physical capsule of our life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That little 23rd Psalm is really something. Because as we grow in the Lord, that becomes reality. We're going to live for Him forever and ever. I shall fear no evil, for thou may rod thy staff, they come. Thou anointest my head, O Lord, my cup, O Lord. Surely give us mercy, shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. All the days of my life. That's why we have to work out our salvation with fear and heavy tremulous. Because it's for each one of us. We can't save a brother or sister. We can get them in that place, but that each one of us has to have an individual encounter with God and our Father. You can go to a pastor and he can just get you up to a certain acquaintance. That's all. Salvation is one-to-one. And after salvation is knowing the will of God is one-to-one. Praying is one-to-one. Praying is not group. It's one-to-one. But the Spirit, it brings you into a oneness of heart. And our whole being has to be in that oneness. Oh, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all of my fears. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God's given us strength individually. Then an individual encounter with God promotes a blessing that we'll be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I think there's weak Christians. We need to be strong in the Lord. You know, I thought about that today. When I learned to pray, I learned by praying through. A lot of people don't even know how to pray through. You pray until you get through. Something that takes you a week, you keep doing prayer, do you pray through? You'll know what to pray through. From then on, you pray through. And everything is right. You don't have prayer meetings, and that's why there's no prayer meetings, because people never learn to pray through. God honors your prayers if you pray through. But some people, He doesn't hear your prayers. James talks about, lest you pray in a mist. You've got to pray with the unction, the function. The other way is just mumble jumbo. When God sees it, this is without power, without form. Your words, that's the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The words is what God wants us to have from the heart. About the abundance of heart, the mouth speaketh. The abundance of heart, the mouth speaks. Why would the heart have to be? Because the heart is the inner part of us. We can say we, but God says you're far from me. It means we're saying this, but in reality we're not believing it. I'm saying it, but it's not from my heart. We should speak from our heart all the time. The Bible says for the edifying of the saints. The edifying is from the heart. It's down in the inner parts of us, that we be moved by the Spirit. We actually try to move in the natural, nothing happens. When the Spirit moves, things happen. It takes by actually working in. It takes by not just dedication, but putting some backbone into what you're doing, seeking God, praying in a way that God moves upon you mightily. Wrong spirits, God gives power to the church. Gives them power over the wrong things of, but if we get in ourselves, we're defeated. We got to, only one way is walk in victory in the Lord. And that victory puts a right heart, it's actually like a pilot system on a big machine. A little tiny valve works a pilot system that works a spool valve, like these great big excavator. Now they maybe have some of them, they're really big. They got a real big, you couldn't have a big enough arms to work them. But a pilot system can work it real easy. You touch the little, just touch your fingers, and it's got magnetic, it can be hydro, many ways to make a pilot system work. And it pushes that out real easy. And that's the way God is. We just say a little thing, and He does mighty. The Lord told me the other day that a man's prayer that's where it should be is equal to 880,000 in the self. That's a lot of difference. That's how God values it. I said, 800? He says, yeah, yes. When a person's prayer is in the self, God don't even actually see it. It's just like a something that, but He sees it when your heart's right and you move through the Spirit. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teaches you, but that same anointing is truth and is the light, even as He taught you, ye shall abide in Him. The Spirit of God is the force that God gives in His last days to receive power. I don't care how you try to do it within yourself, you're going to fail. It's just in the head. Head knowledge is not God knowledge. Head knowledge is up here. God's knowledge is way down here. I don't know where it's at, but someplace it's down low in here. And the Spirit out of your innermost being gushes rivers of living water. Come and see, the glory comes upon you. It's alive in God. God made us that way. I don't know how it is, but I know how it works. He works through healed vessels that love Him, that praise Him, that glorify through Him. We have a work to do, and that work is now. I really believe that we need to search for God more than we've ever searched for Him before. We need to search for Him because He's coming soon. And if we're not ready, we're going to miss it. The thing that's horrible about it, there's going to be about millions of wrong spirits going to be on this earth. They're going to sting people. It's going to be terrible. It's not going to be fit for nobody. They're going to go through that, and then the end of that, then they'll still miss. It's going to be one torturous thing right after. It's in Revelation, it talks about it. There's freedom from that. Seek God. He's your refuge. He's your fortress. You've got to believe in Him. He's the answer. There's no other way. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. But you know what brings that? You have to humble yourself. Humbling yourself is the one that the prerequisites to get to that. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober. Be sober. What does that mean? Your mind's on the Lord. Be vigilant. You're not blinded. Because the adversary of the devil going around as a roaring lion seeketh whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. The Lord started telling me about 30 years ago this is going to come to pass. And so I'm seeing things that just, it's coming. Then it was easy for me, now it's not so easy. I'm over the hill. But that's the way the Lord says, always, He makes it the way He wants it. I have really seen a lot of sick people since I've had this stroke. And sick people, when I'm saying spiritually sick, I feel for them. But I see a lot of them not making any changes. They're staying right where they were. But if we can have the whole world, have all the wealth, have all the riches, and even for a time, have good times. Put your good health in it, happiness, what people are happy about. All those things only have a space of time, a space, and they end. All children grow up to be a grown-up and if they live. And that's the way we are. Every day, when it's over, that day will never be there again. It's yesterday. We're always in the day and looking for tomorrow. Yesterdays are past. We're always in now. We're in the now at all times. But the future is going to come. And that future will rise to a place that some people will not want to be there. And I feel for it too, because a lot of people are not right with the Lord. It breaks my heart because, boy, but I think about Lazarus and the rich man. Rich man fared sumptuously, had everything that he could want. Nowadays he'd have all the jets, the airplanes, the trips, all the fancy things, all the good times, all the happy days, all the good things to eat, the delicacies, the finest that you can have in life. And Lazarus was a beggar that had nothing. I think about myself. I've got nothing, but I'm just me myself, but that's enough. What we need, if we get just a square meal, that's really, when it's all over with, it's enough anyway. We have clothes on our back. The Bible says we're in every state, we're to be content as we are. And I think that's what's wrong in America. There's people that's not content. They're not really happy. God's blessed. I want to get back to Lazarus. God's blessed us with amazing miracles. God's blessed the churches beyond measure. Many people have not been thankful with it. It's hard. Israelite, that was one thing that Israel, when they complained against God and wasn't happy, made the Lord unhappy with them. When we're the same way, when we start grumbling, complaining, God don't like that. We have to believe and thank you is very special. You know, I like to tell people thank you. It sort of feels good, don't it? But there's some people that never want to say thank you. Good enough's not good enough for them. They want all one way. And you know, really, what Satan's like, that's what he is. He produces bullies. He produces people that cannot think right, like Hitler. That's what he produces. His company distorts men's and women's, whatever, lives that conform to that wickedness. God's the opposite. He's against this, and he wants us to be against it too, and we get so wrapped, well, we don't want to be that godly. Well, godly is what we should be looking for, because if we don't, it's only him that's keeping us away from the wickedness. We should know it. We should understand a little bit how this works. God's here to keep us well. If God's not here, it's like the sun. God made the sun where it don't burn us. But if we was up there real tilt, we'd get burnt up. That's what we are. He protects us all the time over situation, over sickness. No ill shall fall thee. No plague come nigh unto thy dwelling. I claim that tonight. I said, Lord, no ill, no harm me, no plague come nigh. Only mine eyes shall I behold, see the Lord of the wicked. And he'll give his angels charge over me. We got the Spirit of God that helps us and aids us and supports us to move upon us as only he can. We have a treasure that's so mighty, so wonderful, it's beyond, we can't express how glorious our God is. That he sent his own son, Jesus, down to this world, and Jesus, through his life, paid on that cruel cross that we as people could live forever and ever and ever. He paid by his blood, by the nailing itself that cross. He paid for our sins that I could be justified and set free from the laws that had me bound, that I can be free in the Lord. We have freedom in the Lord by Jesus Christ. Jesus paid full that we can have freedom. Aren't you happy in the Lord? He's our Savior. He's our power. He's a witness. He's greater than what we face. We need to get that into our being, that he is my what I'm living for. He's what I'm for. If it wasn't for him, we would be worthless this night. we would have without hope. But we have a hope. Paul talked about we have that hope that's in the Lord Jesus Christ by the cross that is crucified through the blood of Jesus. We have that hope that we can have eternal life, that we can have eternal purpose. We can have a witness within us that we can be strong, Lord, the power of might. All these good things that come from God because of what Jesus did upon the cross for us. That we can live in a way that's above reproach. We can live in His strength. In His strength, not our strength. We can live in His calling. We can be justified, therefore, by faith that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's here to help us to say we need to arise to work in His strength. You know, many times the Lord talks about in the vineyard, the 15th chapter of St. John. They prune the vineyard, they work in the vineyard, but that is a growth in the Christian. We're to grow in the Lord. We grow as we, God prunes us, He works with us, and we start growing. We become a mature because we've been let God, He chastises the ones that He loves. And it says, and if He didn't chastise us, He wouldn't love you. He loves us because He takes us one time to the woodshed and He gives a little paddling. He does me, and He's great. He wants to keep us. We're not spoiled. You know, when we get spoiled, we don't even smell good. We're spoiled. But God wants to keep us sweet in Him. God wants to have the aroma, God the Father, God's Spirit of all over, the bubbling of it, His glory on us. All the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. When you pray for something, you feel that glory, the supernatural power of God, the witness of your Spirit that you have God's help for you. There's nothing like working for right. God is great. His power and the witness within satisfies. It's nothing satisfies my soul but the Spirit of God. You'll never have to be satisfied till you relax and let God work in your hearts. Be satisfied in Him. He matures you. He blesses you. He moves upon you as only He can. And when we come to a time we're facing right now, where there's going to be times, there's going to be things that's going to happen. But you keep your eyes upon the Lord. Remember, your eyes are upon Him. You're not looking. We don't look at the things we're seeing. When we look at the things, we look for the things we're not seeing. What are the things that we're not seeing? Jesus. He's the author and the finisher, keeper of my faith. I will keep my eyes to the hills. What's coming my help? I will keep my eyes upon the Lord. He says, call to me and I'll answer thee. I'll show you great and mighty things. I'm going to call to Him. He's up there, so I'm not going to look down here. I'm not getting down the mountain. Those things that cause me to, I'm getting them up. I deliberately keep my eyes upon the Lord because He's my center. He's my focus. There's no other way that brings joy, peace, contentment. Contentment in the Lord. Contentment to be an overcomer. Overcomer and faith comes by trusting. That we can truly trust in Him. Oh, come on. The trust makes you to become a believer. A believer works beyond that. He becomes a worker. He becomes so engrossed in God's Spirit, he cannot allow His Spirit to be going no. He works day and night in deliberate to seek that strength. That strength comes from on high. He doesn't want nothing else. His strength comes from above. His little eyes are fastened where that strength is coming. The anointing. The anointing of God. It's powerful. It's a witness. But God bless you. I pray that God will bless you tonight. You know, I was sick when I started, but I'm not sick now. Glory to God. God's here to uplift you. God's here to encourage you. God's here to strengthen you. God's here to put His might in your heart. I see some of you out there, you need God's might. You need victory. You need to walk in His joy. You need to be complete, and that complete comes in Him. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He wants you to be an overcomer this night. He wants you to be walk upright before Him, that you might walk in victory. The pathway that adjusts is the shining light that shines more and more to that most perfect day. The pathway of the just is the shining light that shines more and more to that most perfect day. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Always about the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain. And just give me a little bit of fringe benefits beyond this. The Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than a two-inch sword. It moves finely. Pray that God will touch you this night
Any of you up there this night, if you're not where you should be, seek God. Call upon Him. And write in, Brother Clint will tell you, whatever. Get a hold of Him and talk to Him. And we'll pray for you, whatever you need. I pray that God will move into your hearts this night in a very special way. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. 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 And God bless you. Amen. God bless America this night. We pray for our president. We pray for those in leadership this night. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost is on Brother Freedom, and there's a brother out there, Brother Bud, and he has a terrible skin disease that has attacked him, and he's asking for Brother Freedom's
prayers. Well, what we're going to do right now, the Bible says, where two or three shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done. So anyway, all of us here, we're going to agree, and out there over the world, I want you to all agree for Bud. This right now, God's going to heal him. Father, in the name of Jesus, that problem is no problem for you. I pray that you touch Bud this night. Set him free. Let him know it's a divine miracle for heaven. And we bind together. We're in one agreement. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bud, it's going to be, you're going to receive it this night in Jesus' name. It's going to come. You might have to even wait a day or so, but it's going to be there. It's yours this night in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Make it complete. Lord Jesus, amen.
We agree with that prayer. Praise the Lord.